from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I don't really think I... What are Tywan Thornton's numbers in New England? He was a second-round pick.
You mean Tyquan Thornton?
Tyquan Thornton. He got drafted ahead of Pickens. And now he might get cut, just like Juju.
Dude, he's got one of the most depressing... I know he only played 9 games last year. He has got one of the most depressing stat lines I have ever seen for a receiver of his draft pedigree. This is last year in its entirety for him. 13 catches, 91 yards, no touchdowns.
This group of wide receivers sucks, man. And this is what you're telling me. If you don't get Ayuk, these are the consolation prizes.
Kadarius Toney, just for anyone that's curious, has not had more than 200 yards receiving in a season since his rookie year.
And what was the rookie year number?
39, 420, no touchdowns. Remember it was the thing that he didn't have a touchdown. I'm trying to see his advanced stats, how many drops they credit him with last year. He got targeted 38 times last year. You bitched and moaned about Deontay Johnson's drops, Deontay Dropson. Can you come up with a very clever name for Kadarius Toney that takes into account the fact that he dropped 5 of 38 targets? One out of every 7.5 times he got thrown the ball, he dropped it. Gage is the best name on this list, I think. You know who's the most likely one that I could see them bringing back is Sims, though, because they feel like they know him.
Over Allen Robinson?
I think that everybody feels like the Allen Robinson experiment was done.
But they gushed about his blocking and professionalism.
Yeah, and I bought into it, and then I Steelers auction housed myself into hell with that guy.
Donnie, which one is the most intriguing from this terrible list? Willie Snead.
I didn't even know he was still in the league.
Tyquan Thornton, Russell Gage, Steve Sims, Philip Dorsett, Kadarius Toney, Isaiah Hodgins, Allen Robinson.
You're going to find this nuts. I actually think Sims...
Sims did have a punt return touchdown against Baltimore.
He brings you that return game element a little bit, but he's nothing as a wide receiver.
Well, who's going to return?
He has one catch
in
a steal.
They're all nothing.
I think Gage is probably the guy who has the best combination of. You've seen him do it at one point.
He's had at least okay.
He's not ancient.
Numbers.
He's only 28. Like you can reasonably surmise he still was catching touchdowns last year too. He caught 5. That's a career high. The 2 years right before, I think Gage is like obviously the best of this bunch. Because it's clear if you just look at how his Atlanta career went, he started off like just getting onto the roster as a 6th-round pick, barely got used more like a 3rd wide receiver, 4th wide receiver the next year, and then he got like what I would call lower-end wide receiver 2 numbers.
Like, did he ever cross over with Smith?
2021, which would have been Arthur Smith's first year.
Yeah, that's why I brought up
66 for 70.
What Florio said, that they're two. Well, the other guy that
he's the guy I would pick.
The other guy
bunch.
That is a free agent who I forgot to name, who's not going to get cut, is the dude that the Bills are working out right now, and that's Corey Davis. He's another one that played in Arthur Smith's offense, and he was the fifth pick in the draft.
Corey Davis, just when he was with Arthur Smith, so let's go with 19 and 20 in Tennessee. 43-601, two touchdowns in 19, and then in 2020, 65-984-5.
He took last year off. He was not good in New York, though, but you could make the case for him that he just had horrible quarterbacks.
He did.
Throwing him the ball.
He's the most, I guess, intriguing name by draft pedigree, just because the talent you would think is there.
But my thing with that is he's been a free agent the entire time.
No one's touched him.
No one's touched him. And if anybody, like if he's itching to play again, I would think the Steelers would be number one on his list of teams to call because of the relationship with Smith, but also the fact that this team is crying out for another wide receiver.
Hodgins, to go back to him for a second, is interesting only because
he's a bigger guy.
He's a big guy, but he's also still pretty young, man. He's not even 26. That's not, your career is not written and defined
by
that age.
They're saying Gunnar O's going to get cut in New York, too. You want to bring him? Could you imagine?
Tomlin would, like, if Khan tried to sign him, I think if Mike found out it happened behind his back, he would personally, like, file the paperwork to release him
Speaking of Mike addressing reporters just moments ago at the stadium on Saturday's game, let's listen into a little bit.
Good afternoon. Before I get into Saturday and things we're trying to get done there, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the quality work we got done here today. The Buffalo Bills are a good dance partner. We had a really productive practice. They're different than us in some ways, and that's what made the work really good.
They win playoff games.
We're a 3-4 structure. They're 4-3 structure. So I'd imagine that was good for both offensive lines to see those different structures and get a couple of days' work as opposed to one day's work with it. Obviously, man, they got some continuity within their program and culture, and we do as well. Sean and I have known each other, man, since we were kids. I just think it created a really good and competitive atmosphere while maintaining professionalism. And so I'm appreciative of that.
I'm going to stop this for a second. We just got this back. I heard that one of the big things they wanted to do at this practice was work on the kickoff stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That there are wrinkles and things that they didn't want to let people see and report on in Latrobe that were held back specifically for this practice.
Yeah.
And Sean McDermott, same thing. With their practices, and I think the reason why these guys are so, or these teams are comfortable maybe like letting the cat out of the bag a little bit is because of the Tomlin-McDermott
connection.
Friendship. Yeah.
I just think, is there anything in the world like Mike likes saying more or just thinking about more than they're different than us, we're different than them, they get to see a 3-4, we get to see a 4-3. He just probably wants to inject that like football guy stuff directly into his veins. He sounds so happy when he's talking about the I know that's not minutia, but stuff like that.
We need that type of work, particularly in regards to the special teams. It's probably the most difficult thing to duplicate in a practice like setting, the intensity and so forth associated with in-stadium work as it pertains to teams. I thought we had a couple of really good periods in that regard. Both units got an opportunity to execute some punting game. We had an opportunity to get some more work and looks at the kickoff game. And so I'm just really appreciative of that work and their cooperation in making this thing come off the way that it did. Now I'll turn our attention to the game. As I've mentioned a couple of times this week, man, we got a really inclusive mentality about participation in this game. We're not setting anyone aside to minimize their reps or to look at others. All of those that are healthy will participate in the game. That's our mentality. The sand's starting to run through the hourglass in terms of us divvying
an Ayuk reference,
up and carving out a
role. You want to pause it and play
thing.
Days of Our Lives here?
These in-stadium opportunities are limited and weighted differently. And as we go into our second stadium and our last one here in Pittsburgh, we just think it's appropriate that we have an all-in type mentality. Now, that being said, we got a number of guys dealing with ongoing training camp-like injuries. You could characterize many of them as day-to-day and so forth. But again, we'll lead a light on for those guys. But at the 11th hour,
that,
we'll
Donnie.
Make whatever decisions appropriate in terms of their participation. Russ is scheduled to participate if he has no setbacks, man. It's been a good week. He's been a full participant. He's had a couple really good days. With each passing day, it's less of an issue. And so we look forward to him participating in this home venue. Our mindset regarding the first team or the first wave of terror, if you will, last week they played about two series, roughly, offensively and defensively. We have a mindset of playing roughly four this time around.
Stop but that's it right there.
Well, that's all I really need.
Four series for the first team offense and defense.
Sounds like there's no, like no one's getting a veteran
day
nod
off
to not play. So if TJ Watt is healthy, he's going to play four series.
I don't think TJ Watt needs Buffalo one series personally.
Yeah, we watched him without a single series go to Buffalo and wreak havoc on them with that wave of terror.
I still think, couldn't he be telling a half-truth there where a guy like Watt might get like the first series and then he gets taken out, but the rest of the first team stays in?
Yeah.
I think that's plausible.
I think it'll be interesting if he does that with Wilson. If he keeps the rest of the first team offense in, but just replaces the quarterback just to have another taste of what Fields looks like with first team guys. I think he'll do that.
So you think he will give Wilson just one series?
No, I think he'll give him more than one, but I think he will not give him all four with the first team offense.
I think it would be, I would do it then either 2-2 or 3-1 just to knock the rust off for Wilson.
Text us on the Edgar Snyder Associates fan text line. Steve Palazzolo. We'll see if he likes this scrap heap list of wide receivers who are going to get cut. Right now, a Donnie headline.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We got to see if that Sports Illustrated 49ers writer has more updates on Brandon Ayuk apparel and thirst quencher choices from practice today. Donnie says we do have that. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Awesome. Right now it's 4:15 on a Thursday. That means we're joined by the newest member of the 33rd team. His podcast there called Mike Check with Sam Monson. I'm talking about Steve Palazzolo is back with us here. Steve, I was given a list of roster cut down wide receivers who might make sense for the Steelers. This is scary. And you, as an aspiring GM and football lover and knower, I will give you this list and you tell me from this list who the most attractive option would be for the Steelers. This is real sicko football fan stuff. Yeah, which is right up your alley.
This is gross what we're about to do here, Steve. So prepare yourself.
Willie Snead, Tyquan Thornton, Russell Gage, Steven Sims, Philip Dorsett, Kadarius Toney, Isaiah Hodgins.
Don't forget Allen Robinson.
Allen Robinson. Do any of them even make your face go, ooh, for a second? Like that Alonzo Mourning gif where you're like, oh, maybe this is a good idea.
And just go.
No, not really. I mean, there's got to be some better receivers that are getting cut out there.
I had a friend text me more names. How about Lil Jordan Humphrey, Xavier Hutchinson, or LaVisca Chenault?
Xavier Hutchinson. I like that guy.
He's in Houston. We saw him last week here.
Yeah, I mean, they're loaded at receiver. He could be. I mean, I think he's really good after the catch. I mean, Van Jefferson's getting some good reports, right? I mean, if
Kenny Pickett got good reports, Steve, I mean, I'm not doing this again. Yes.
Oh, you're a whole new man. It's great.
Thank you, Steve.
He's been trying. He's trying to be Steve because he still wants to fall into the same preseason traps.
What did I do with Justin Fields on Monday? I gave honest.
You were the poo-poo platter. Yeah, you were the poo-poo platter. You were doing so much poo-pooing; it was unbelievable. So why does Hutchinson though good after the catches? If he gets cut, would be intriguing for that reason specifically.
Yeah, I mean, as a developmental wide receiver, I think he's got some yak ability. I think that's like the one name that I thought of. Tyquan Thornton, I think everybody loves fast receivers. He ran in the 4.2s. He just doesn't really have the play strength to do anything. Mm. Russell Gage is the other name that came up. You know, it's always tough when you have a guy that just is a name and hasn't been productive in a couple of years due to injuries or whatever, if you can expect him to come back. But if you're looking for an instant impact and Gage is, you know, healthy and doesn't look like he's lost a step, maybe he's the one guy on that list that might be able to contribute as well.
Steve, Donnie and I, while Pony was busy doing God knows what before the show, we have no idea. He's in his lair making up sounders and things. Donnie and I were trying to brainstorm this because let's just say it's Van Jefferson and he stays as wide receiver too. We were then trying to figure out in recent NFL history how many teams were able to put up a good offense while having their top two pass targets be a wide receiver and then like tight end one, you know what I mean? And so the tight end functioned as their de facto wide receiver two. The names we came up with were like obviously Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill was dynamic. Debo and Kittle, you could argue, was probably that. Maybe even like Dez, and I think Jason Witten was still there because he was there for 100 years in Dallas. Do you think that approach generally can be viable for a team to have a good passing offense where there's one big receiver, a tight end, and then just a lot of guys otherwise?
You could add the Ravens to the mix with Mark Andrews.
Well, they're more the tight end is the main guy, and then you hope that there's a receiver.
He's
right.
Number one.
Right.
I mean, I think the people that you mentioned, though, they have elite tight ends, like elite game-changing pass-catching tight ends. I think Pat Freiermuth has the ability to be a good, solid tight end. I love the 1-2 punch of him in Washington and what they're able to do. But I mean, I'd still rather have a dynamic outside threat. I think all those teams that you mentioned, or if you add, you know, the Patriots and Gronk or whoever it might be, those are elite tight ends that are taking over a bunch of the targets. So yeah, I think it's a challenge to be able to build an offense, you know, with the receiver and a tight end as the top two.
Breaking news, Steve, it is not Brandon Ayuk coming to the Steelers, but we do have Atlanta. Their week one opponent just signed Justin Simmons at safety, and they traded for Matthew Judon yesterday. Do either one of those moves make you feel like the Steelers now have a tougher task in store for their first game?
Oh, yeah. I think both players help the Falcons quite a bit. The Falcons have one of the worst pass rush situations in the NFL, or at least edge rush situations in the NFL. Judon is, you know, a good solid pass rusher who, you know, finishes plays. He's like TJ Watt light, you know, just always finishes and gets a lot of sacks overall. And Simmons can still play. I don't completely understand what has happened with the safety market this offseason where so many veteran safeties were just, you know, sent away. But Simmons can still play. That Broncos defense, they had that stretch of play where they were really good in the middle of the season. And Simmons is at the forefront of that. He can still make a lot of plays and do a lot of things. So I think the Falcons, those are two really good additions at positions of need.
Steve, if the Steelers do not get Brandon Ayuk, The best version of their offense features who? Pickens and blank. Fill in the blank is the number two guy.
It's probably Freiermuth or some combination of the tight ends.
No Jalen Warren there? I'm
intrigued to see what Warren does, but it, you know me, guys. I'm not going to tell your running backs the second most important player on it. I have a tough time even doing that with Christian McCaffrey, you know, even when he was in Carolina. So
does it surprise you that the Niners prioritized him, by the way, since you brought him up, in terms of paying him some more money compared to a guy like Ayuk, so far at least?
It's a little surprising, but it's so tough. Like when you do the AB analysis of what were the Niners before McCaffrey and after McCaffrey, it coincided with Brock Purdy. Like they almost got there right around the same time. But that Niners offense has just been so good since McCaffrey got there. I think they just wanted to make sure that it stayed. And the fact that they just have so many weapons that you can't cover. And McCaffrey is one of those guys. I just think he's, you know, after the Debos and the Kittles and the Ayuks of the world.
What did you make of Justin Fields' Steelers debut on Friday, Steve?
I mean, it was fine. I thought there was some throws. Like every now and again, I just kind of wish that the Ohio State Justin Fields came out. I thought he would be a little more accurate at the NFL level. I thought you saw elements of that. But there's still this, you know, working a little bit too slow through progressions, taking too many negative plays, you know, the ball being on the turf. So, yeah, I mean, I don't have strong feelings either way. You know, it's not like there was like a massive, you know, turnaround. I don't think in Fields at this point. We saw a lot of what we've seen previously from him.
Fautanu, I think, gave up a sack and then two pressures. And yet the Steelers, pretty soon after that game, which he got taken out of with a very minor MCL tweak at halftime, Steve, the Steelers one of the Steelers' most tenured beat writers suggested that he was going to be your opening day right tackle. What did you see from him?
Yeah, I thought it was a good debut for him and for Zach Frazier. I thought it was a good start for both guys. I think Fautanu, you know, I think because of his height, a lot of people expected that he would be, you know, potentially, you know, a guard, but he has tackle length, and I thought it was a good start. I was really impressed with a lot of the first round tackles. I think a lot of them just looked like they belonged and that they were capable of contributing right away. Some of them are flipping sides, Fautanu being one of those guys. I think that leads to some, you know, there might be some ups and downs when you are switching sides in year one, but I think he showed that he can hold his own.
Steve, do you have confidence that George Pickens can go from big playmaker, when he has the ball in his hands, he does a lot with it, but goes from that type of wow player to the next level, which is not just that, but 100 catches, 1,200 yards, that kind of player in 2024?
I think he's capable of it. I mean, just a couple of the plays last year, even just early on, you saw his speed after the catch. I mean, it felt like he showed more last year, and now I think it's just that consistency issue, the idea that his contested catches were kind of up and down last year. But he has the special plays in the bag. He can make those. He can make plays when he's covered. I think he's shown that you can move him around a little bit, put him into space, and let him create after the catch. I think Pickens has all the tools to handle it. It's just a matter of, you know, week to week being able to do it. I think the tools are absolutely there to have a huge season.
How much, because we know the Steelers venerate this position and really place a lot of importance on it, off-ball linebacker, how much realistically can Patrick Queen improve and help their defense this year from what it was last year?
Yeah, I mean, if he continues what he did in Baltimore, I thought he looked like a completely different player the last year and a half with the Ravens. Again, I think you have to say how much was being in that Mike McDonald scheme, how much is it having Roquan Smith. But Queen has incredible athleticism, excellent range and coverage, has to clean up some tackling issues when he's flying around the field. But I think he has a ton of potential. I thought he had a ton of potential when he came out in the first round at LSU. Kind of looked like he was lost a little bit at times early in his career. Again, the tackling was an issue, but the range that he has and the athleticism, I think he could do some big time things at linebacker.
Steve Palazzolo, now with the 33rd team. Check out the podcast, Mike Check, with Steve and his longtime podcast partner, Sam Monson, who has really endeared himself to Steelers fans over the years with his takes on Marquise Pouncey and TJ Watt. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
See ya. There you go. Steve Palazzolo, everybody. I thought this was a little too inside football, but then again, I'm asking him about guys like Philip Dorsett and Steven Sims.
Which part was too inside football?
Well, the question I got submitted from a listener.
Mm.
Steve wanted me to ask Steve about Jalen Mills getting cut. Then if he would solve the Steelers' veteran corner.
Didn't Eagles problem. Fans love to hate him because he was always getting torched?
I remember him as a guy that dyed his hair red.
Don't remember that at all. Do not remember that in the slightest. I just remember I followed a decent number of Eagles fans. No, I put the blonde highlights in like high school, back when I had hair. Now it's just really grim because my hair right now, you know, is long for my standards. I got to probably shave it when I get home tonight.
Everything about going wig or toupee?
Like just the Marv Albert.
Yeah.
And just act or do what Urlacher did it where he just suddenly appeared with hair and pretended like it had been there all along.
Donnie, you've got great hair genes in your family, don't you? Your dad's got a marvelous head of hair for an older gentleman.
He's not even that old.
Yeah, I mean, the only person in my family who had ever lost hair at any point was his dad, just because he had cancer later in life. But otherwise, the head of hair
no
on both sides.
No natural hair loss, yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Pony, you got a good head of hair.
I'm trying.
But I see flecks of gray now everywhere. Beard, hair. Soon as I see him, hyper motivated to quickly shave the head.
Oh, I'm
going to
die.
Face.
I'm like, I've got it in my beard now, but the next time I go, I'm going to have Johnny dye it. I'm going to trust him to do it.
What if he dyes it like purple?
red, silver.
Oh, boy. What if, you know who does let the gray show out, though? Maybe in keeping with his character as an Old Testament, you know, guy. Nick Wright, a little bit of flex of gray in the beard.
Did Pop ever do gray?
I don't think
so. Or the second he saw one gray hair, did he go right to the salon and say, get rid of this?
Furthermore, what's Richie going to do? Because I'll say this about Rich. When that hair does go gray, if he maintains the look of it otherwise,
mm-hmm.
it would be a hell of a look to go gray, but have that pushed up like he does.
It kind of looked like Jack Frost.
Like the Silver Surfer.
That's a good one. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Donnie's segment is next, the football debrief. In the 5 o'clock hour, we have a Steeler personnel member talking about Brandon Ayuk, but right now, a headline. That music means it's time for the Donnie Football Debrief. It is brought to you by his friends at Steel Mill Saloon up in Mount Washington. Get there today. Donnie?
The debrief, August 15, 2024. Pony, you alluded to this, one of your questions to Steve. I did want to get into it. It does seem like the Steelers' Week 1 matchup did grow a little bit more daunting over the last 24 hours.
Oh, very daunting.
Oh, we're going to have daunting talk. A lot of daunting talk.
Is daunt a word? Yeah, it is a word now that I think about it. I've only heard undaunted, daunting, undaunted. I said that twice. No one just ever said, this is going to daunt them.
Oh, it's going to be daunting. September 8th in Atlanta. They acquired Matthew Judon last night, four-time Pro Bowl edge rusher. They signed Justin Simmons for whatever reason. He was still out there. Multi-time Pro Bowl safety. That team had issues on defense. I mean, you heard Steve. He raved about both of these moves that were made in the last 24 hours. I don't feel great about the Steelers playing their Week 1. I think that is one of those games that I think a lot of Steeler fans will check off. Like, oh, they'll beat the Falcons.
But it's not the Desmond Ritter Falcons.
That
it's
game's a lot
it's
more
Kirk
difficult.
It's Kirk Cousins in his element. It's a Week 1, 1 o'clock
but
game.
But it is his first game coming off an Achilles injury. Odds makers have Atlanta favored. FanDuel does -2.5 in that game. They're the pick to win the NFC South because of the quarterback change. It's Tomlin versus Morris, so there's a teacher versus student factor there, too. Belichick used to always beat his students. I don't know.
Is there really a teacher versus student? We always talk about the complete and utter lack of a Tomlin coaching tree.
Well, I guess you're right. They worked together in Tampa, I think, for a short time, and Tomlin was older than Morris, but he had ample opportunity to hire him here and never did.
I don't think we can have the Tomlin always beats his assistants like Nick Saban did.
Good point.
Beats Randy Fichtner.
I'll tell you. Like, I honestly think...
Beats Matt Canada.
I honestly think if Fichtner, like, went all Dick Butkus on us and took over a Whipple team, he'd run it into the ground.
Can you imagine Big Chase trying to get on Fichtner's staff at Mapletown High
Chase
School?
Chase Johnson, a defensive line coach with the...
Offensive line coach and recruiting specialist.
Donnie's best friend, the man that'll be the best man in his wedding.
Is he your best friend?
When Donnie and
he
Sarah
will not
tie
be
the
best man in my wedding, no.
But he might be.
Do Pony or I have a chance at that?
Best man?
Yeah.
Best men.
I'm going to unfortunately have to say no to best men, but you guys will absolutely be there.
All right, last question before Pony goes any further. Do we have a shot at groomsman status?
I don't know. That might be a tough one.
If you go one, you got to go the other.
That's the thing. Yeah, you got to.
Unless you're going to get married on a college football Saturday, and then you can just not invite
Donnie,
Pony.
I'll bow out. No, no, I said I'd go on a college football Saturday. It's the NFL Sunday where I would not go.
Donnie, you know I would never dare.
Donnie, I actually just would rather just be invited to the wedding so I can cut loose. I don't need all those groomsmen responsibilities.
Well, Donnie asks the question about like how fans feel about Atlanta in that first game. How many road games on their schedule would you say right now you would deem to be harder than that game? I would say Cincinnati won, even though it's in division and they've gone there.
I think all three of their division games are harder on the road.
Really?
They got beat by Cleveland with Dorian Thompson-Robinson last year. I know you hate the Browns. I know you short the Browns. I don't even think Deshaun Watson's very good. But you can't, having the knowledge you had from what happened last year, I know Pickett's not their quarterback.
Yeah.
I know they have a new OC. You cannot possibly, with that defense, go in there and say, oh, easy game.
And it's on a short week. They play Baltimore the Sunday before. I don't disagree with you on that. So I would say Cincinnati, Cleveland, and that would be it for me. I like when they go to Baltimore. They got a way of going down there and winning.
Philadelphia, too.
The Raiders game, by default, is a harder game because they go to the Raiders and puke all over themselves usually.
No, not last year. And
you think it didn't travel from Oakland to that?
No, it's
to the Roomba.
It feels like a home game now for the Steelers, even more so. Steelers fans did not want to go to that black hole, I'm telling you right now. You get a secondhand high walking in there.
Colts could be, you know what, don't you have to at least, I know the Broncos don't have, it's going to be Bo Nix probably.
They have a horrible track record there.
But it's altitude, that terrible. Altitude thing is real.
Oh, yes.
The Colts with Richardson, I think, should be, if he's healthy, should be seen as a...
You're making it sound like at Atlanta is one of their easiest
home games. I don't think any of their road games are particularly... easy. Like, I can more than usual come up with a reason why it could go sideways for them. In almost all of these. Like, you don't think it's possible that Richardson
goes off? I think he's a dark horse MVP candidate this year.
You don't think it's possible that Sean Payton, as much as I really don't like him, has Bo Nix very ready to play in that game?
I mean, it's an average football team, in my opinion. You can make an argument for them to lose all of their road games. Go game by game, and there's maybe not even... And you could say, at Washington, is that a Tomlin game? He's going back home. He's going to be full of himself.
Yeah, you know what? I'm probably doing a bad job with this because instead of, like, planting my flag on these games are winnable, they should win, I'm coming up with just, like, the doomsday scenario every time here.
Shocking.
Ambassador Doom 2.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. Low of 69 tonight.
Nice.
Yeah.
Weather for sleeping.
Coming up next, it is very rare that opinion makers and columnists in this town all agree on something. And it appears that that is happening with the Pirates. Ray Fittipaldo is going to recap Steelers-Bills practice. TRT, Total Request Thursday, you pick the topic at 5:30. We have a Steelers front office man talking about Brandon Ayuk to share with you between now and the end of the show. Right now, I'm going to tell you guys about Regenesis. Guys, you don't like the way you look and feel? Time to get in touch with Regenesis today. Maybe you're working out, you're pumping iron, you're running, you're eating better, you're not getting results. Why is that? A lot of it could be with just how you're wired right now, your hormone levels and things like that. Well, let's allow for Regenesis to see what's really going on. Free physician consult and free blood work available today. Get in touch with them now, 724-510-0024. Go to freebloodwork.com. It's Regenesis.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.